It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, America. I'm J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios again today. Thank you very much, Sandy, for having me guest host this week. It's been a real treat to be with you talking about what's going on in America. Boy, has there ever been a time quite like this. Anyhow, most of you have heard me as a guest on Sandy's show. I'm an election attorney, used to work in the Justice Department in the voting section, been on TV quite a bit. It's been a real fun time to be watching this America in 2020. It isn't what I think most folks expected on New Year's Day, did you? This hour, we're going to have a guest, Hans von Spakovsky, and we're going to talk about the election coming up. And we want to hear from you at 1-888-589-8840. And when we talk about the election, Hans and I, we talk about voter fraud. I'm the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. You can find it at publicinterestlegal.org. And all we do is fight voter fraud. All we do is litigate in the courts to improve our elections. And Hans and I will be talking about that. You can follow me on Twitter at electionlawctr, at electionlawctr. Yes, center was just too long. I joined Twitter before I knew what I was doing about a decade ago. I think I would probably just like to have at X or at Y. I think that works better. But hey, if you're not on Twitter, folks, think about it, because social media has become a cesspool. Well, wait, many of you are saying that's why I'm not on social media. But we need your voices out there. This is where so much of the American perception is being shaped. And one of the things I want to talk about before we get to elections later in this hour with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation is, does America need behavior remediation? Does America need to be sent to obedience school like a golden retriever? Do we need to be reminded how to behave? And let me give you some examples of this. Let's suppose that I was walking through a grocery store parking lot, or you were, and you saw a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker on a Prius. Does that mean, if you don't like Bernie Sanders, that you are entitled to go over to that car and scratch it up with your keys? Oh, of course, we all know the answer to this if you're listening to this show. The answer is no. Yet, how many of you out there don't want to put a Trump sticker on your car or some other controversial saying because you're afraid of what might happen to your car? Let's change the facts up just a little bit. Let's suppose that you're a teenager and you have one of these, you know, expensive insulated water bottles that keep water cold for like 100 hours. And you're going to your job with your water bottle and it has pro-life stickers on it. And you're going to be around other teenagers. Is it okay for those other teenagers who have never been exposed to the pro-life culture, who are hostile to it, to take your water bottle, rip off the stickers, smash the water bottle and dent it, and write pro-choice all over it? Is that okay? The answer if you're listening to this show, is no. You get that. Because we know how to behave in a civil society. This is not Soviet Russia. This is not Mao's Cultural Revolution in China, right? We live in America. We don't do things like that, do we? Let me give you one more example. I grew up near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as a Steelers fan. Now, I know a lot of you are down in Texas. A lot of you have very bad memories about Steelers-Cowboys games, except in 1996. Okay? That was an anomaly. A lot of you have bad memories. So I remember Tom Landry. Frankly, he's a good guy, but for this hypothetical, let's play along. Let's suppose I don't like Tom Landry. And me and a bunch of Steelers fans are down in front of the Dallas Cowboys Stadium where there's a 9-foot-tall statue of Tom Landry. And we decide it offends us. And we're going to tear it down. And we're going to throw it in the river. Now, of course, we would never get it into the river in Dallas because it probably weighs 16,000 pounds. And there really isn't much of a river in Dallas. Let's just pretend. Is it okay for us to tear that statue down and throw it in the river? If you're listening to this show, you know that the answer is no. Because that is how you behave. As an American in civil society where, and let's go through the list, we respect property rights like cars and water bottles and statues. We respect religious freedom like the right to be pro-choice, strike that, pro-life, or to express Christian values in public without fear of getting your head clocked in. Or your windows smashed in, because we respect religious liberty. We are a nation built on religious tolerance, aren't we? Let's keep going down the list. We don't do these things because in America, we respect free speech. As a matter of fact, we have put these things in our Constitution. They are part of our national DNA. Where you don't clock people over the head because you disagree with them. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you from both firsthand experience and what I read in the papers every day that America, in some parts of America, doesn't seem to believe these fundamental ideas anymore. They seem to have abandoned them and are more into clocking heads. And violence and destruction. And they seem to be using it as a political weapon aimed at you, aimed at your values, because you have that pro-life sticker on your water bottle, or you have that political sticker on your car. And to this crowd, violence is seemingly, that's just part of the game. You know, hey, we disagree with you, man. You got to understand that I'm a liberal and, you know, what did you expect me to do? That's the world we're entering into. Now, we could talk a lot about that world. Why is it happening? What do we do about it? But let's first establish that it's happening. Wake up, because it's happening. Now, everybody in the sound of my voice might not be experiencing this personally yet. But I can tell you one thing. There's people listening right now, and your humble host, who have experienced it. And don't think there's a geographic boundary, because every small town has their crackpot. Every rural area has their disaffected leftist, who is actually more wound up than even ones in urban areas, because they sit there disaffected because they see too many American flags and too many church parking lots full on Sunday morning, and they don't like it. So don't think this isn't coming to you. So what do we do as a nation when it starts to tear at the seams? Now, history has some answers for this. And some of them aren't very reassuring, because there's not a lot of times in world history where this nonsense starts to occur that it just stops. I'm racking my brain for examples. Maybe I need Victor Davis Hanson to join us next time I sub. But I can't find many examples where the nation starts to tear, where a culture starts to break down, where violence starts to become normal, and things just get better overnight. Taking your calls at 1-888-589-8840. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios this week. And a lot of things are happening that do not give you the luxury of checking out. Now, you could change your views and join the mob. Oh, I forgot about that option. Because there will be people who do that. There will be people who are more consumed by fear than living by principle. Those people will do that. Oh, then there will be the people who just remain silent and watch it happen. They're the people who don't have an opinion about the Christopher Columbus statue being tossed into the Baltimore Harbor because they're too afraid to express it. There will be those people also. Folks, do not be one of these two people with what's coming. Do not abandon your principles and do not fall silent. There's a third option, and that's zeal for your beliefs. That's telling people who say stupid things because they think you agree with them in public and telling them that you don't agree with them. You don't think it's cool to ridicule somebody who has your beliefs. Or you don't think it's cool to ridicule the president over something he didn't do or say, because that's a favorite of theirs. They like make stuff up. They say that he told people to drink Clorox when he didn't, and then they laugh about him when he didn't do it. It's like some sort of propaganda ministry. Like, let's make up a bunch of crazy things that this person did. Oh, I have some firsthand experience with this week, hosting your show, Sandy. Tell you all what it is. You probably don't know this. We talked about George Washington earlier in the week and the founders and statues of the founders being torn down. And People for the American Way, you know, that outfit that Norman Lear started that listened to this show and listened to all of you calling, they posted an article that your humble host, Christian Adams, said the Confederate monuments were the essence of what makes America great. No, that was the headline, seriously, that I said on this show, Confederate monuments are what makes America great. They just made it up, and it's even worse, because their article actually said that I said the American Revolution, that statues of leaders of the American Revolution, like George Washington, represent what's great about America. And then in the article, they said I was confused, that I really meant to say Confederates. That was actually in the article. It was some freak who lives in D.C. wrote this piece. Totally lied about what I said on this show. Totally made it up. But hey, that's cool when you're trying to smear people. It's okay to lie. Well, they corrected it after their lawyer heard from me. My name is J. Christian Adams. We're joining with Hans von Spakovsky next to talk about our elections and voter fraud. We're going to take your calls this hour, I promise, at 1-888-589-8840. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. And wait until you hear about the money that is arrayed against clean elections. Coming up next with Hans von Spakovsky, I'm J. Christian Adams, in for Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The Ministry of Preborn is dedicated to helping save preborn babies from abortion through ultrasound. And even in this time of national crisis, Preborn is there. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
No college classes and sheltering in have led to an explosion of unplanned pregnancies. Women are panicked about their pregnancies and wanting to abort. Our crisis line is the busiest it's ever been. Here's Catherine, one of our crisis line operators.
Girls are often desperate being pregnant in this pandemic. With your help, we are able to be here for them.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. Would you join Preborn in the cause for life? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say the keyword baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Lanny Erdos, Acting Director of the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement. His office works to ensure land previously used for mining is returned to a productive and beneficial state. Psalm 24:1 reminds us of the importance of caring for our environment. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Lanny Erdos as he works to protect our environment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
The Myers family of Atlanta was wandering around Athens, Georgia the other day, home of the University of Georgia. Anyway, nature came a-calling for their 8-year-old, so they made a mad dash to a nearby Subway. Unfortunately, the bathroom was for paying customers only, and the Myers had left their wallets in the car. Well, two young men happened to be eating lunch when they overheard the family's predicament, and they decided to intercede. Latavius Breeny and Jalen Kimber, members of the university's football team. The young men spoke up and offered to buy 8-year-old Avery a cookie. Mrs. Myers was so touched by the kindness of the two football players that she posted a story on Facebook. Said it may seem like a small act of kindness, but she was so thankful and impressed the college kids would give so freely of their money. Mrs. Myers says the world needs more people like Latavius and Jalen, a ray of sunshine in a dark world. Go Bulldogs! I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
This is Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios. Today, Sandy will be back next week. Thank you very much for having me host, Sandy, on American Family Radio this week. You can follow me at ElectionLawCTR on Twitter. You can call in at 1-888-589-8840. We have a guest today, Hans von Spakovsky, a friend of the show. Sandy has him on regularly also. Hans is the manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. So Hans knows election law, but he knows a lot more than just election law. Hans, good morning.
Good morning, Christian. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. Now, we've been talking this first segment about bad behavior by the left, and I want to get to that in a moment. But before we do, let's talk a little elections. We're heading into a period of time where all of the engines of manipulation on the left are going to be humming. What can you say about what's going on in the country relating to elections right now, about the process and about voter fraud and about the administration of elections?
Well, all you have to do is look at the bills that Nancy Pelosi tried to get through Congress that were supposedly there to deal with the COVID-19 health crisis, and look at the lawsuits filed by the left in almost every state. They've been pushing for all-male elections, both in primary and in November, but they've gone way beyond that. They're trying to take advantage of this to get rid of any and all security protocols that are in place to try to prevent fraud in elections. I mean, Pelosi's bill, for example, would have overridden and gotten rid of all voter ID laws across the country. You know, what has that got to do with COVID-19? Her bill would have said that when people vote by mail, states can't have witness requirements, notarization requirements, anything that would help authenticate that the registered voter is really the person who filled out and completed that ballot. You know how dangerous that is, because I know very well the case that you handled in Mississippi on that very issue. And look, anybody who doubts the vulnerability of absentee ballots, just Google Paterson, New Jersey. They've got an entire municipal election that just happened a couple of weeks ago.
Paterson.
Right. Yeah. The municipal election is in complete disarray. They've already arrested four people because they went to an all-male election, like the left has been trying to orchestrate, and they have a massive absentee ballot fraud problem, including thousands of absentee ballots that came back where the signatures didn't match. They've arrested somebody who admitted he was stealing ballots out of mailboxes.
Now, Hans,
absentee
some
ballots are very vulnerable.
Some people listening, Hans, might say, well, you talk about all this litigation and all this effort to change the law, but doesn't this happen every election year?
Yes, it does, but we've never, it's been exponentially increased this year in a way we haven't seen before. And again, they're trying to take advantage of the COVID-19 health crisis to do that. And what folks need to understand is, look, I'm sure everybody listening to your radio show is going to the grocery store, is going to their drugstore, and all of those retail establishments have put in safety protocols, line spacing, people wearing masks. There's no reason we can't do the same thing in our precincts so that we can vote in person, where you can be assured that your vote is being delivered when you put your ballot into the ballot box, unlike trusting it to the mail or being subject to intimidation and pressure when campaign workers come to your door and try to get your ballot or want to push you to vote the way they want you to vote.
We're on with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation talking about the election coming up. Hans, on that point about remediation and mitigation efforts to have an in-person election, you know, I can understand. For example, imagine if there was a deadly disease that had like a 50% fatality rate, like Ebola. Remember Ebola in Africa a couple years ago, right, where people would like have blood coming out of their eyes and ears and they would drop dead in like a matter of 24 hours? I mean, you can't expect anybody to have an election in that kind of situation, can you?
Well, Christian, in fact, you can. In 2014... Liberia, in the midst of the Ebola epidemic that was sweeping West Africa, successfully held national elections. And how did they do it? By putting in the kind of safety protocols we've just been talking about. And they were able to do it successfully. There was no surge in Ebola infections. This is, by the way, similar. A lot of folks probably don't realize. April 15th of this year, South Korea held national elections, 29 million people voted. They did exactly the same thing, line spacing, people wearing masks, disposable voting materials, et cetera. 29 South Koreans voted. There was no surge in COVID-19 infections.
You know, I could understand wanting to possibly have an all-male election until I started looking at like the tens of thousands of people taking to the streets over the last month. I guess it's okay to protest and to throw Christopher Columbus statues in Baltimore Harbor, but I guess you don't want to have an election, right?
Well, yeah, that makes you wonder about the motives of the people doing this and whether the reason they really want to do this is because they know mail-in ballots are much more vulnerable to being stolen, and voters are much more vulnerable to being pressured and intimidated to vote a particular way.
I want to mix the conversation up a little bit and talk more about the people involved in their tactics. But, you know, folks, you need to understand elections should be transparent. And if you have an election in a central place where both sides get to put representatives in to watch the process versus having people voted in their living rooms behind closed doors by vote harvesters, that's the essence of the problem. That's the biggest problem with mail elections. Now, the second biggest problem might be the chaos that it builds into the counting process. Hans, talk about the chaos that could ensue.
Well, the chaos comes from the fact that, first of all you have to do is look at primaries recently held in places like Maryland and the District of Columbia, and they had huge problems because many voters who requested absentee ballots didn't get them. They weren't delivered in time. But processing an absentee or mail-in ballot takes a lot longer than counting a regular ballot cast in a polling place. Plus, you've got this entire authentication process you have to try to go through to make sure that this absentee ballot really did come from the registered voter. And look, they're the states that don't already have all-mail elections, there's no way they can gear up, just from a practical standpoint, to handle an all-mail election between now and November. Washington State, which I think unwisely went to all-mail elections, their Secretary of State has said it took them 5 years to gear up to being able to do that.
You're listening to Hans von Spakovsky, our guest. He's from the Heritage Foundation. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios this week on American Family Radio. Hans, let me ask you this. You have your opinion. The other side has their opinion on this. We've been talking this hour about bad behavior by the left and how they seem to hate free speech. Is this different in this area where if Hans von Spakovsky has an opinion, there's a good faith debate with the folks on the other side and, you know, everybody kind of finds common ground, or is it something very different than that?
No, it's completely different. Folks on the other side of this don't want to debate the substantive issues, the problems with mail-in ballots, just the problems with misdirected ballots by the Postal Service. Instead, I get personally attacked all the time, and people saying I'm a falsely that I'm a vote suppressor and all that, just because I'm concerned about the integrity of the election process. They engage in personal attacks instead of debating the issue.
And why do you think that is? I mean, is this really core to their agenda to have these election process issues go their way? But is there something bigger going on with what's happened in the country where if you disagree, you know, this doesn't seem very American, does it?
No, it's not. And it's the same tactic that Russian revolutionists, Bolsheviks used. They used it in the French Revolution. The idea here was not to engage in a substantive debate with your political opponents. The object was to silence them and scare them so that they won't speak. And that's exactly, unfortunately, what is now going on all over the country.
Well, you and I have both experienced that. We are both at the Justice Department working in a very liberal, frankly, leftist civil rights division. And the degree of hostility, folks, you just can't you can't overestimate it. It was a constant militancy that would be filled with hatred. I mean, I remember, Hans, I think it might be in my book, Injustice, that we got emails. We found emails that these employees were sending about us that were full of the most nasty, vile attacks on a personal level. It wasn't about debating the law, was it? It was always about personal attacks because they know that if you can destroy someone personally, your legal arguments don't really matter, do they?
No, and in fact, one of the career people, someone who is regularly involved in litigation, one of the career people in the Civil Rights Division, called me a Nazi because of my name, just because of my name. And, you know,
can I set this up?
Russian.
Right. Let me set this up. So Hans von Spakovsky is with us from the Heritage Foundation. The co-workers would attack him at the Justice Department. The people who regulate elections, by the way, these are not like the guy who sweeps the floor. These are the lawyers who are making important decisions, attacked him as a Nazi. And Hans, tell us how true that was. We're not.
My mother was arrested by the Gestapo when she was 16 years old. Yes, she was German. Unfortunately, grew up as a child in Nazi Germany. She was not a Nazi. She was arrested by the Gestapo. She, through very fortunate circumstances, survived that. My father was Russian. He fought in the underground in Yugoslavia against the Nazis during World War II. So I can't think of a more insulting remark, but you know, this is coming from liberals who claim that, oh, you're not supposed to stereotype people because of their names or how they look or anything else.
Right.
That's exactly what they were doing to me.
Right. I love that they've entered into this culture of the untruth. I was telling the guests how I was attacked by people for the American Way this week because of something I said, or I should say didn't say on this show, praising Confederate monuments, which, of course, I never said. But the best part was, the article actually said Adams said American Revolution, but he was confused. I mean, that's how far they'll go, is they'll literally say in the articles that I meant to say something else.
Right, right. By the way, can I mention on that you know, there's a federal law that was passed by Congress on a bipartisan basis that makes it a criminal violation of the law to destroy memorial statues to American military figures, and the punishment is up to 10 years in jail. And I hope that is used against the people who have been doing this.
Well, indeed, and thank goodness we have this president who understands the ramifications of erasing our history. I'm not sure that we've had a president since Reagan who quite understood that tactic and understands the mob and what their mentality is like this one.
Oh, no, I agree. I think you're exactly right about that.
We're with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Hans is the election manager of the election law program there at Heritage, former Justice Department official. Hans, you were on the Federal Election Commission, too. We often leave that out. That was a real good experience. Tell people what the Federal Election Commission does in 30 seconds.
It's responsible for enforcing the federal laws that govern the financing of federal campaigns. So all the money that's raised by candidates, all the money they spend, they have to report it to the FEC, and the FEC goes after folks who violate the laws on how you can spend the money and how you can raise it too.
So Washington, folks, has lots of tentacles into how we run elections, and you're really seeing this play out this year. It's going to be a fascinating fall. Hans, thank you so much for joining us today on Sandy Rios' show. We'll have you, I'm sure, back on the show shortly. And thank you so much, Hans.
Sure, anytime.
You're listening to American Family Radio. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm substituting for Sandy Rios today. We want to take your calls next. What do you think about this election? Is it being rigged? Is it being manipulated? Can we trust the results? And we want to hear from you about the bad behavior that's sweeping the country. What can be done about that? What do you do about that? Do you have stories of your car being scratched, your property being destroyed, or are you just too afraid to put it out there? My name is J. Christian Adams. You're listening to American Family Radio. You can call us at 1-888-589-8840. Again, the number is 1-888-589-8840. We'll be back right after this with your call.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
According to the latest research, America's in a moral freefall since some lives clearly don't matter. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me and special guest George Barna as we discuss his latest research concerning the perceptions of morality and moral choices in America. This information is startling and should cause all Christians to run to God in prayer and repentance. That's this Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Chief Justice John Roberts hid behind stare decisis to join the regressive bloc of justices to strike down a Louisiana law that sought to protect vulnerable women from danger by placing the most minimal restriction possible on the bloody abortion industry. But here's the kicker. The precedent Roberts fought to uphold is one he declared unconstitutional 4 years ago. If the Chief Justice would have simply maintained the position he held 4 years ago, vulnerable women would be protected and thousands of preborn children's lives would be spared. Roberts is the new Kennedy.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. As Christians, we believe that all lives matter, which of course means that black lives matter too. We believe that every life matters, whether black or white or brown, and those lives matter whether they are born or unborn. But that's not what the organization Black Lives Matter is all about. Black Lives Matter, the organization, is a Marxist socialist outfit whose agenda includes the destruction of the intact nuclear family, the promotion of the LGBT agenda, and the abolition of the Christian heritage of America. Its followers are not about strengthening marriages and families in the black community, but destroying them for political purposes. Black lives, yes. Black Lives Matter, the organization, no. It's bad for America and the black community they only pretend to care about.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump is reportedly poised to issue today a new executive order on China. At this point, we don't know for sure what it will say, but here's a suggestion. In the past 2 days, some top Trump subordinates have pointedly objected to a practice that clearly must be ended, namely that of Wall Street underwriting the Chinese Communist Party's companies and the malevolent behavior many of them enable, notably National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow and National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, have warned a federal retirement fund of serious material risks to beneficiaries and the country of investing in the PRC. And the president's trade advisor, Peter Navarro, said, quote, American investors should not be forced by decisions of Wall Street portfolio managers to support the Chinese Communist Party's surveillance state, flight-by-night companies, and military-industrial complex, unquote. Tell them to stop, Mr. President. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I'm Jay Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios this week, guest hosting on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've been talking about bad behavior and the normalization of bad behavior. As long as it's certain bad behavior, right? Not all bad behavior is normalized. Story out of New Jersey. Here's a quote. Man was arrested named Richard Keller. Richard Keller was arrested for dumping garbage into his neighbor's yard. Richard Keller's 58 years old. Here's a quote from Richard Keller. I think you know why I did it. Because of that flag. Now, what flag might he be referring to? I bet you know the answer to this if you take a guess. Is it the American flag? That's a good guess. That's what's going to happen next year. People will dump garbage in your yard because you have an American flag. No, not yet. What flag do you think it was? Come on, you know it. Yes, it was a Trump flag. And that apparently emboldened this man to dump garbage in his neighbor's yard. Repeatedly. That's the world we live in. Where, hey, it's just what I got to do, man, when I see that Trump stuff. Or that pro-life stuff just triggers me. Or, you know, when you talk about patriotism, I just have to go crazy. I can't control it. Yeah, that's the world we live in. What's happening? What is going on out there? I want to hear from you at 1-888-589-8840. And what can we do about it? You know, at some point, someone's going to get clocked in the mouth. If they come onto your property and destroy it, someone's going to get shot. This is dangerous stuff. This isn't just inconvenience. Let's talk about early childhood learning policies. This is serious stuff. James, you're in Texas. What do you have to say? Good morning, James.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, James. How about you?
I'm good. So I recently experienced some violence with the protests that were going on in my home city of Austin, Texas. And I'm a African American living in Texas as a Republican. And I was just wondering if you had some advice on what does a guy do when we experience violence from the left and we don't necessarily trust the police community to have our side on the issues?
That's a fantastic question, James, and let's brainstorm a moment. If you take to the streets in the United States and you peaceably assemble or exercise your First Amendment rights in some other way, and people come along and clock you in the head and beat you up, kind of like the brown shirts did, Hitler's brown shirts in Nazi Germany, that they were sort of the election goons in 1933. They had sticks, and then they graduated to more potent force shortly thereafter, after Hitler won. So if you were subjected to the brown shirts of Austin who rough you up, let me give you a little tip. Under federal law, you have a right to bring a lawsuit for deprivation of civil rights by a conspiracy to deprive you of civil rights. It doesn't take color of law. It's an action against people who have conspired with force to deprive you of civil rights. And you bring the lawsuit under Section 1983.
Okay.
If the city of Austin doesn't respond to you, you hassle them. But we in America have the right to peaceably assemble, to go to church, to speak out, to put a bumper sticker in our car without being beaten up. That's part of being an American. So that's one thing to think about, James, and I'm sorry to hear that's happened to you. Who did it? Who were the culprits, by the way?
We're not sure. It was some people protesting. And, you know, I just assumed that they're probably with the left. You know, the left is a radical organization, just like the police force. And I don't think that we can't trust them.
Well, you never can. They've always been about destruction of civilization. That's what makes them leftists, right? You can't become a leftist unless in the end you're about destroying institutions. That's what gives you your credibility. Thanks a lot for your call, James. Good to hear from you. Christy, you're also in Texas. What part of Texas are you in, Christy? It's Texas Day.
I'm in Dallas, and I haven't participated in any protests, but, you know, when you were talking about you know, why do people feel emboldened to do these different things? One of the things that I was thinking was, and the things that I'm frustrated about as a independent, used to be Republican, but I'm super, I guess, disengaged. I plan on voting, but on the platform of abortion, because I so strongly against abortion. But I've been disengaged since the Bush era because I don't feel like anybody anymore represents Christian values. I got to say, when you watch the news every night, Comey and Strzok aren't arrested. And every night you hear people talk about Comey and Strzok and what they did, and everybody knows what they did, and everybody knows they lied, and you continue to see people lie and get away with it. I think that emboldens people to do the things that they do. And so that's why good people sit at home and watch bad people, and it's just a handful of them, tear down statues. Because when you watch people get away with, bad people get away with stuff, other bad people think it's okay to do that.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying totally, and I could do an entire show, and if Sandy will have me back, maybe we'll do it, to explain why it is that the inertia of the Justice Department, where I used to work as an attorney, I was an attorney in the Justice Department under both Bush and Obama. I wrote a whole book about it. You can read called Injustice, Exposing the Racial Agenda of the Obama Justice Department. It was a New York Times bestseller. I could spend a whole show, Sandy, Christy, talking about why this is with why Comey and Strzok are getting away with it. And we would get into really complicated issues of institutionalism, procedures, and a whole bunch of stuff that would make people in Dallas, Texas roll their eyes. Okay, but it would still be the truth. I would still be accurately explaining why it is they're not being prosecuted, but it's complicated. And I know nobody wants to hear, you just don't understand, but I'm telling you, the institution of the DOJ is a slow-moving, self-protecting machine. And you could read my book, and you'll learn a ton about it. And I'm not just trying to sell books. I want you to understand. I'd get 50 cents if you bought a book. So,
but do you see how a person looking in from the outside would say, there's two forms of justice, and so you can do whatever you'd like if you were at a certain place in society, but the rest of us are going to be prosecuted at the fullest extent of the law. But if you were in government, you could do whatever you like, say whatever you'd like, you know? And
I agree with you, and again, that's what my whole book is about, is why this is happening, and part of it involves the people who are inside justice, who it attracts, the Ivy League elite lawyers who get self-replicated in the hiring process. I talk about that to help America understand why Comey and Strzok aren't being prosecuted. Comey and Strzok aren't in my book, but if you get done reading my book, your eyes will open up why they're not being prosecuted. So, look, that's a whole different issue, but I can tell you this much. What gives that inactivity oxygen, what empowers the inactivity of non-prosecution is people who check out. When people check out of the process and just say, I watch on TV and I'm very upset, but I don't support anybody, then Comey and Strzok feel like they have a whole open field to run down. So I'm just telling you, checking out of the process is no longer an option when mobs are burning down our institutions. It's no longer an option when the country is under threat. Because you have, all of you listening have the wherewithal to engage for now. And that's another reason to wake up. You might not have it in 5 years the same way you have it now. Now is the time to reassert American greatness and what made this country great and what your grandparents taught your parents and they taught you about what makes this country great. You know, my grandfather came to this country when he was 16 years old by himself from England. And he worked in the shipyards because America was great. My great-grandfather on the other side came to this country by himself and left his family behind in Italy, who came over, and one of them died in Ellis Island. But they came here because this country is great. And we have to reassert that truism while people are trying to destroy it. I'm J. Christian Adams. You're on with Sandy Rios in the morning. We're taking your calls. And I'll tell you, Jenny, you're in Mississippi. What part of Mississippi are you in?
Yes, I'm in Carthage, Mississippi.
I've never been there. What's up, Jenny?
Well, I'm just totally against this mail-in voting. You cannot trust it. And the left is just a radical liar. And the thing about it, they need to go to the voting polls with a pictured ID with a background check of a spin on them. And that way you wouldn't have all these dead people voting. And I think Nancy Pelosi with her Botox and bills needs to be thrown out.
Oh, right. Well, look, Hans von Sikorski talked about the problems of mail-in voting. It's a system of chaos. The chaos you see in the streets is the kind of chaos that we'll have in our elections with mail-in voting. Uncertainty. Ambiguity. People asserting a vote is a certain way when it's really not. Oh, I've seen that in Mississippi. I've been in the canvas after an election in Mississippi where an absentee ballot gets opened up and one faction says they voted for A and the other says they voted for B. And to tell you the truth, it's not totally clear. That's an election in Mississippi. And I've stood in many, many, I hate to say it, August primaries, because you guys decide to do your primaries in the stinking hottest part of the year. And I've stood in plenty of unair-conditioned places in Mississippi watching those mail ballots getting opened up. And heaven help us if we have all-mail elections. Julio, you're in Texas. You're on with J. Christian Adams on American Family Radio. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning. I appreciate you taking my call. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, Julio.
Excellent. Hey, mail-in voting, completely, I don't even know where it came from. I'd like to know why Democrats aren't being held accountable. They're going completely against the Constitution. Why is their side even allowed to operate here in the United States? Another thing I'd like to say is, have we not all been here long enough to at least tolerate each other rather than act on emotion? And just go. I'm brown. I'm a Mexicano. My dad is from Mexico. I'm from America. I'm from Texas, right here. Ain't nobody gonna ever take that from me. And the fact that people want to list themselves in a category is ridiculous. You know, we've all been here long enough to at least tolerate each other. And everybody I know on Facebook, you cannot say nothing or else somebody's gonna come and attack you. I'm a big dude. You know, I'm not scared of nothing. But when it's a mob of people trying to, you know, saying stuff that they shouldn't be, it's just like, well, if you're going to come at me, come at me. I know you're coming at me, but if you push me hard enough, you're going to find out how hard it is to push me, you know. So that's what these people on the left need to understand as well. They are playing with the tiger's tail, and they need to go on with that nonsense.
Julio, thank you for your call. You absolutely summed this up, that there's a danger in pushing people who love America too far. Now, that isn't a pleasant place to be, but unfortunately, that's the place we are. I'm J. Christian Adams. I've been subbing for Sandy Rios this week. Absolutely loved it, guys. Thank you so much for your calls, for your time and attention. I will hopefully be back another day. I'll not be here tomorrow. You'll have a different guest host, but you've been listening to American Family Radio, and have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.